Hey there, Iconiacs. It's Michael Burns. I wanted to start today's episode off with a little bit of a announcement and explanation. As you know, if you've been listening along with us in season six, we're talking about new creation. But about once a month, we're going to take a little side road, a detour, so to speak. And I'm going to be having a conversation with Thvani Mashava, who lives in Gweru in Zimbabwe. And you'll hear on the episode the background of just who Thvani is and his expertise. But we're going to be talking about the spiritual realm, the other realm. And it's really good, interesting, exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll be doing that about once a month, but I wanted to give this little explanation because he's in Africa, there are some technical challenges with that. And you'll hear that in the first couple episodes. And by the third one with Thvani, which will be in a few months from now, we have that worked out. But when we started recording, because we weren't quite sure how it was going to work, we were planning to do special Thursday episodes, like an extra addition to the podcast, and we were going to call them Thvani Thursdays. And so you'll hear us talk about that in the episode. When you hear that, disregard it, because we've decided instead to do it just as a regular episode once a month. So that's what we're doing. Sit back, enjoy this episode, and you'll hear from Thvani again in about a month. Thanks for joining us on the Icon Podcast. Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to the Icon Podcast, and we're starting a new series on the first Thursday of every month that we're calling Thvani Thursday. And you might be wondering, who or what is Thvani? Well, we're going to get into all that we're doing in this special first Thursday of every month series, but let me begin by introducing Thvani Mashava, coming to us from Harare, Zimbabwe. Thvani, welcome to the Icon Podcast.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. I'm glad and excited and just really honored to be here. And I look forward to the journey ahead. Hello, everyone.
And I'm sure everyone says hello to you. We are grateful for you joining us, not just once, but we're going to do this on a regular basis. And the series we're calling The Other Realm, and I'll give a little bit of background to that, and then I want to get your side of the story, Thvani. But basically, Thvani and I have been friends for a number of years. We've gotten to spend time in Zimbabwe, as well as Botswana and a few other places in Africa, but you are from the nation of Zimbabwe. And Thvani is an amazing individual who is a powerful teacher in God's word. He has seemingly unending energy. You just go and go and go. You're everywhere doing everything, kind of helping out churches and serving and teaching. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate our friendship. But over the years, and especially recently, this past year, we spent some good time together in Botswana, and we got talking about the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, the other realm. And Thvani, you're really, I've been fascinated by that realm for years and studied it and talked to people about it and observed it, but never honestly really had much firsthand experience. It's theoretical for me, but for you, not so much. You've experienced a lot of things, and probably the word expert is maybe misleading or too far in that field, because I'm not sure you can be an expert in that realm, but it's certainly something you're very knowledgeable about and had a lot of experience. So we decided to start having this discussion about the realm of the supernatural, demonic, the powers and authorities, how it impacts us, how maybe it doesn't, how, you know, we're going to tell stories. We're just going to kind of talk. We're going to be informal, but we want to examine this realm. And so I'm excited to have you on and hear your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Mike. Definitely. I appreciate getting to connect with you and, you know, and just the many conversations. Just confirm you can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can hear you. I know, you know, we will warn the audience right now, the connection between here and Zimbabwe is sometimes a little sketchy, but it's going good right now. So we may have some bumps along the road, but we're going to, it's worth it. So just stay with us.
Awesome. Yeah. So like I was saying, I'm grateful for our friendship and, you know, getting to connect with you and just also learning a lot of things from you as well. And I've enjoyed our conversations. Like you were saying, you know, we had some interesting conversations in Botswana a few months ago. And yeah, you know, the issue of the other realm is a thing that has fascinated me for a long time, you know, and, you know, here in Zimbabwe in Africa, it's something that it's like, I don't know if to call it a second nature or first nature. It's like we start from there and then we have to work our way out of it. You know, so when we when we are introduced to the Bible and so on, it's on the backdrop of having to work into the Bible out of, you know, this quote unquote, you know, the other realm type conviction. It's something where we are born into. I mean, I have markings or what do you call it, incisions on my body. That were made when I was a child. That is part of a ritual to make sure that we are protected. Nothing happens to us, you know. So it's stuff that happens to us from before, you know, we are born. Our moms have to go through some ritual so that we, you know, we come out well. We are born and we don't die. So it's very interesting. So everything about, especially in our context, everything about us, there's a lot of rituals, a lot of belief in the spirit realm. We believe spirits are everywhere, you know, so they are everywhere. And so we always have to be, you know, on our toes. And so for me, I know that even though growing up in that kind of background, I had questions. In terms of, okay, so how much of this is true? How much of this is real? How much of this should I be afraid of? How much of this should I believe and should I discount? You know, I mean, because I would see things and I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I mean, where I've experienced, I mean, when you would move, you know, townships, sometimes you have rituals that would happen. People, you've got Malawian tribes, the Chewas, the Makasais, that were staying in mining towns in Zimbabwe, and they would have these, you know, dances where they dress in these, you know, crazy outfits and walking on stilts, and some of them they run down the road and they beating drums and they doing all that, and it was all about invoking the spirits and, you know, that kind of stuff. I've seen in my own family, I've seen someone being possessed, and we sit around in a circle. They call somebody a healer who comes there, and my grandmother's, you know, feels there's problems in the family. Some things aren't going too well. This could be people are getting fired from work. You know, things are not going well. You know, and
that's all connected to the spiritual realm then.
Yeah. So the thought behind that is, okay, we have to reach out to one of our ancestors who is supposed to be a guardian spirit, you know, because our belief is for me as Tabani, my direct ancestor is my grandfather, you know. So when he passes on, he becomes my direct ancestor in the sense that he graduates into the spirit realm and he becomes one that, is directly sort of working around, you know, the grandchildren, to protect them, to bless them, to appeal to the creator for on you know, to the next in the hierarchy of the realm, who then goes to the creator God. So it's not to say I'm worshiping my grandfather or whatever, but it's more of he is our intermediary. You know, so that's the some of the things that were very fascinating for me, and so I would see. I remember one time, watch this guy comes and, you know, he sits us in a circle. My granddad, my grandma, my uncles, myself. You know, I think I was 15, and this guy starts. He's a hybrid between a a spiritual prophet and a witch doctor. You know, he's like a spiritual type guy. So he comes and he starts chanting things, and he's touching everyone. And then suddenly my uncle, my father's young brother, he gets possessed. You know, he starts speaking funny. Yeah. And then this guy holds him and, you know, grabs him. And then he begins to, he sort of gets that spirit or whatever it is out of my uncle into himself. And so, yeah.
Let me stop you real quick and ask a question here. How do you know that he's possessed? Like, what is it that he says it? Is it that the look about him changes, or his voice changes, or how do the people around him know that this person is now possessed?
Oh, okay. So, one, it's the look, it's the body language. He will start to, you know, it's like someone who is behaving delirious, you know, and the voice changes, and at times it's some of the stuff that he begins to say, he or she says, and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. How does he know that? And in this case, you know, this guy starts to speak in a voice of an old lady, and then his disposition changes. He starts to walk like an old lady. It's weird. It's bizarre. You know, he just looks funny and it's scary. And he starts to speak funny. Sure. Yeah. And in some cases, they begin to speak in a language that they are not very familiar with, so to speak. For example, in our village, we are descendants. We have some Zulu heritage in that type part of the world. Although we are Zimbabwean on the border to Mozambique, but then because our tribe comes from a hybrid between you know, guys that came from South Africa and Zimbabweans, and so our ancestors have a Zulu heritage. So you find a young person gets possessed during some of these ceremonies, and he starts to speak Zulu, something he's never spoken before. You know, so so I've seen things like that, and things you can't explain. And here's another crazy one, Mike. So here's what happens sometimes when people get sick here in these parts, and they go to the hospital, to the doctor, professional, proper medical doctor, trained med school. And the doctors will do something, try everything. And it's not awkward for a doctor in these parts of the world to say, hey, to the family, you know what, guys, I think you guys need to try other means to help your relative. This is not medically. We can't articulate this medically.
Really? And okay.
So it's not weird. No one is going to say, hey, where is this coming from? It's like, guys, you got to try something else. We can't. We can't handle this from a medical, scientific,
interesting,
Eastern medicine type thing. Yeah. And they say, okay, try somebody else. Try a witch doctor, or try a prophet, spirit type guy. Yeah. So that's been my sort of some of my experiences, Mike, things that I've seen. And so I've had questions for a long time about this. And but now, when I became a Christian, what was a dilemma for me was to try and understand, okay, so what do I make out of this? You know, how do I, how do I process this? I understand, okay, I'm a Christian now, but what does that mean? You know, what happens to all of this? And so most of the time it's like, you know, leave it alone. You know, it's primitive. It's superstition. It's African superstition, you know, so forget about it. But then there's always this constant back and forth. And I've seen many people now struggling with this, many Christians that have been Christians for years now. I know personally a number of Christians. I know a brother who passed away, unfortunately, maybe 14, 13 years ago. And by the time, I mean, before he passed on, he used to do sales, you know, like door-by-door sales to feed his family. And he would apply an oil on himself. And we you know, this oil is meant to be an oil that attracts customers, okay? And he believed in that. And so at that time, I mean, I was a bit young and he was much older. And I was like, people didn't know what to say to him, how to help him. and then at some point when he got sick, he started consulting witch doctors to see if he can get help. You know, and so you have many of these situations that come in that, and a lot of these people, Christians, is because they've been having pressure all along from their families, their clan, that will be saying, hey, you need to participate in this ritual. Look at this. Look at this. Look at what's happening. Look how many people have died in the family. Look at how everyone is poor. Look at how everyone has lost their job. Look at this. We need to have some cleansing happening. So you are sabotaging the process with this Christianity of yours, you know? And so with time, you find people's faith wading off because they feel the pressure. And because also there's a lot of these prophets that have a hold, like almost a chokehold on our communities, to the point of people are so afraid of them. And there's a strong sense of, you gotta have that kind of person coming to your home, your homestead, and pray for you and cleanse your home, you know, cleanse the family. And also there's the fear sometimes that if I don't participate, and I'm out of this, and when everyone, the whole family gathers and consults, they're going to pick me out as the witch or the one that is causing problems for everyone, you know. So there's a lot of that. And so for me, it has been an interest to say, let me study out more about this. Let me, you know, study out from scripture. Let me try and learn more and try and understand, okay, what does the Bible say? And then how did we end up here? In our African belief system, you know, how did we get here? You know, and obviously I'm a big fan of people like Dr. Michael Heiser and the work he did. Unfortunately, he passed on, but I feel a lot of his work has laid a good foundation for me in terms of beginning that journey and then expanding on that now in my, you know, in the context of where I'm at, and the things that I, for a fact, have experienced and continue to interact with others that experience, you know, these things. Yeah. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. There's another one that you, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's what's so fascinating to me and helpful about your background and why, quite frankly, we wanted to do this series is, you know, if we broke it down theologically, you and I share much in common. We come from a similar fellowship of churches. Mm-hmm. Or the same fellowship of churches. We've probably, you know, we've read a lot of the same theological resources and understand the Bible in that way. But as you're already starting, or our audience is already starting to hear, you have had a lot of experience in this realm that goes beyond just the intellectual or theological education. And so you've been able to kind of put the two together and see where it matches up. And where I think that becomes important, Devani, is that you know, the biblical world, when we enter the biblical text, we see a world that presumes the, you know, what we call the supernatural, this other realm. And we see demons and we see references to the powers and authorities and the Satan and all of those things. And so the, for, you know, at least me and you know, a good portion of our audience, not all by any means, but come from that Western world where we live in a world that's largely divorced from that realm. Most people don't even believe it exists, or if they do, it's mostly in theory and it's stuff that happens in movies or maybe every now and then, or, you know, as Christians, we come to feel like, I mean, the Bible says there's demons and all that stuff, so I believe it, but on a daily practical basis, we don't know what to do with it. We don't, it's not a practical thing. It's not something we consider. You know, we look at exorcisms in the New Testament, we're like, whoa, that's, I just don't think we do that anymore. I don't think we experience any of that. And maybe we don't, but maybe we do. And I think that's what's helpful is, you know, most people in my context don't believe they've ever experienced a demonic incident or, you know, or that the powers and authorities have real influence in their lives or, you know, their day-to-day lives or the systems we operate in. It's just not a present reality for us, but you've grown up in a context where it is. And I think that becomes important, not just in a, hey, tell us some hair raising stories, you know, and we'll, this would be really great around Halloween time or something, but in the sense of, I do think there's an awakening in the Western world to, well, maybe we've been ignoring this realm that the Bible seems to presume is real and is impactful and is something that needs to be paid attention to. And so I think you and your experiences are very helpful for us to hear from, to start to think through, maybe to become a little more aware of some of the things that we just haven't been aware of, but also how to navigate it. And I think what's great, and this is going to become clear to our audience, I think over time, is you don't either go to the extreme of just, yep, it's all demons and let's start casting out demons everywhere. Like you still hold a critical theological eye to these things and say, let's consider other possibilities. Let's look at what's actually going on here. But having also experienced some of these things as real and as a spiritual battle that, that we're in, I think you can help us sort of navigate and see through the what is and what isn't and how to not ignore these things, but also not become obsessed by them and really find that helpful biblical ground. So that's what I think is really cool. So let me back up just a little bit here because I know you could tell us stories for days and I'm looking forward to hearing many of those as time goes on, but can you tell us just a little bit about where you grew up, specifically the region you grew up in, and what the worldview is there? Like, how specifically is the spiritual realm seen, and how does it impact daily life?
Right, right. Yeah, Mike. Okay, so I grew up, I was born in a small town called Wange. That's about, if you've heard, if you know the Victoria Falls, that's about 100 k's from Victoria Falls, closer to, you know, that's a mining town. It's a coal mining town. So it has a lot of presence of Malawian, people of Malawian, Zambian descent, like a mixed, you know, like a melting pot of regional tribes. And then, but my mom is from Bulawayo and my dad is from Chipinge. Chipinge, Bulawayo is just about 400 odd kilometers from Wange. My dad is from Chipinge. That's further northeastern southeastern highlands of Zimbabwe, next to Mozambique. And so I have a lot of mixed tribes happening in me. So each of those tribes has a different worldview, sort of. You know, it's all African beliefs, but they all have different variants. It's just like you have Christianity, and then you've got, you know, different types of. So it was quite interesting to grow up in that, but basically, where I grew up, the environment is very. There's a lot of fear, you know, around the spirit realm, around, you know, witchcraft, around old people are not viewed very well, like old people as in, you know, people that look really old, and there's always suspicion around them to say old people are witches, all this. So our culture doesn't.
So why, let me ask, why is that? Is it because they believe, well, to live that long, you got to be doing something wiki witchcraft wise, or is it, why is it, what's the connection with older people and the demonic, right, or witchcraft?
Right. Yeah. It's very interesting because old people are viewed as, you know, they are more, they want to, they've got lots of experiences, they are jealous, they want to usurp powers from the young. And a lot of it is just, frankly, it's just because they just look old and scary sometimes, they're grouchy. and most of the time also is like the witchcraft has always been associated with old people. They're the ones that sort of delve into that. You know, because the system of our communities is the elders that really do most of the judging, sitting around. You know, they shape they're sort of watchdogs of the value systems and all that. You know, so they are viewed in that high. So it's always been this stereotypical thing that old people are the ones that control, and besides, they are one foot in the grave. They know how to communicate with the ancestors, so they are more proficient in the language of that. And so there's both an awe and a fear, and you know, so it's kind of like a sweet and sour sort of approach. And then also from the very word go, when babies are born, okay, so every most in our tradition, African babies are born, and they have to have like a band put around their wrist and around their waist. So it's like a you know, you weave together some threads, and then they put like a little cotton, I don't know what to call it, but it's like a little pillow, you know, like a pillow or a cushion. A small, small, minute cushion. So they put some you know, concoctions, or we call it muti, or or some herbs in there or whatever. And so it's put around the baby's waist, okay, from when they're born. And the idea is that wards off demons or any black magic, so to speak. Okay, you can't, if a woman has a child and they've given birth, they can't leave the house for about, I think it varies, it can be a month, but a couple of weeks, the child can't leave, because the fear is that the child is very vulnerable, you know, to evil spirits. And so they particularly do not allow anyone else to touch the child that's not part of the family. They you know, going into public transport or anything is a no-no. You know, so you find it becomes even, this is where it gets interesting, because now when you come to the church, the teaching used to be, hey, your child needs to come to church with you, you know, and all that and all that. And now for African disciples, like, hey, that's too soon. my baby can't come to church, you know, because of evil spirits, and they'll bump into a witch, they'll bump into someone that has got muti on them. And so that used to be like a, even in the church, it was like a potential conflict type thing, because on one end, when your baby is born, especially if it's the first baby, the wife's mother moves in, and they make sure that tradition is kept and all that. So there was a lot of problems now when disciples would say, hey, well, Christians would say, we need to take our children to church. And it's like, what? Are you serious right now? You know? So that's a worldview of this thing, because they believe that from the word go, someone wants to take that child. Because the issue is, old people need the soul or the spirit of a baby that's fresh, that will give them longevity, that will, you know, get them going. So we've got a lot of abductions. Not in the sense that you would understand it, like, you in the West, people are abducted for ransom, for money. You know, okay, we've abducted your child, so pay us $10,000 if you want to see them alive. In our culture, we are bumped into it. Happens a lot, even as we're growing up, children get abducted, and of late, even adults get abducted for ritual purposes. So they will take a child and, you know, harvest them for their organs, not for donations, to say, okay, Michael needs a kidney and he has, no, that's not how it works. They use that for business. They use that for longevity. They use that, you know, a witch doctor will tell them, get me a 4-year-old child or a 5-year-old boy. You know, so as we go along, I'll explain more of how, you know, one of the days, how that works. But you have this worldview of, you know, the spirit world. So witch doctors and these prophets are highly esteemed in our communities. They are very respected. They're very relevant. So it's not unusual for someone to go to a mainstream church like, maybe Catholic or Anglican, but still, if they need spiritual deliverance and help, quote unquote, they will go to these guys that are found under trees or found somewhere. So there's this demarcation to say, okay, we go to church and worship and sing and have this, you know, but then when we want to go deeper, we go to these kind of guys. So it's not awkward in Africa to have a hybrid in terms of, I know especially your Catholic churches, Anglican churches, the bigger traditional churches, most of the members there, there's syncretism that happens, you know, they worship, but they also make sure they keep their ancestors happy. They make sure they, you know, go to the village and do all these. So it's not unusual to have that kind of setup that, My grandmother was big in her church, you know, wearing the uniform, you know, doing all that in the women's ministry. But at the same time, she can brew traditional beer every now and then for the ancestors and all that. So that's a very common thing, you know, that happens. So everything we do is dedicated. We are dedicated. When I was 12, I had learned for myself to know a particular herb that I knew, you know, it grows outside. And so when I would have bad dreams or whatever, I knew now to look for that herb, take it for myself, you know, rub it on my head and then put it under my pillow and sleep. And the nightmares are gone. No nightmares, nothing. But, you know, again, there's the issue also of, you know, it's a psychological thing at times. So the worldview there, man, was, it's very intense in terms of, we believe so much in the influence of our ancestors, and the influence of, I can't run a business successfully if I don't get cleansed. You know, I can't pass my exams without getting cleansed and protected. So when I was doing high school, many times I would, the time towards exams, I would make sure I was told I need to get to the classroom before everybody else. So I even stopped using the bus. There used to be a bus that picks us. You know, you go to the bus rank because the bus, when if I use the bus, then others will be there before me. So I would actually walk to school about maybe eight kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles. Probably what, 15 miles?
I think it's about 5 miles.
Is it? Yeah. 5 miles. So I would walk to school and I would have salt in my pocket. So the guy that we consulted would say, when I get there, sprinkle the salt on the door, by the door, so that everybody that walks into the classroom has to go over the salt. And so the idea was salt neutralizes any charms, any anything they may be carrying that they could use potentially to harm you or to steal your intellect.
And if anybody is a regular watcher of the TV show Supernatural, they would know that salt protects against those things, because it's kind of a key theme that runs throughout that show, is, you know, the demonic can't penetrate salt.
Yes. So, yeah.
So that's interesting.
Very, very, very. A lot of similarities in our cultures as well, you know. So the worldview there, man, it's like there's so much taboos around it. You know, you don't if you don't go to your village frequently and just step on the soil, you know, that's your, in when I say village, I'm talking about the village of our origin, you know, where my dad came from. Where I derive my clan name. If I don't go there from time to time, you know, just to go there, you know, the ancestors will not be happy with me. And so things start happening. Children get sick. You could find things not going on well at work, your marriage with that. And then, so normally when you talk to somebody and you say, Hey, things aren't going well, man, things, and they'll ask you, when was the last time you went to the village? And you're like, oh, man, I haven't been there. Like, exactly. That's your problem. So just take a ride. Just get on a bus, go there. And then you come back. Hey, everything is moving well. And so it's there's a lot of that groundedness in keeping into our culture, tradition, and not forgetting the hierarchy of what happens. Here's a funny one, Mike. So when we would go to the village to visit my grandmother, when you get there, you're not supposed to get there when people can see you around the area. That used to be back in the day, because they say they must just find you've arrived. They mustn't know. Then they just find you are there. And then when you're leaving, you don't do your farewells to everybody else, because they can bewitch you and you can have an accident or something can happen, because they probably not too happy that, you know, you're doing well and, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of that, you know, you're eating meat, or my grandmother will be like, hey, shush. We don't want anyone knowing we're eating meat, because they're going to cast a spell on us, you know. So people don't really celebrate sometimes in the village's success, graduations, successes. They keep it under wraps because they're afraid of being bewitched because of their success, you know. So I think even as I'm saying these things, you can already see the potential problems you're going to have in the church now. Why? You're going to find African disciples have a hard time sometimes. And sometimes you might think, hey, why are these guys so unopen or so they keep to themselves. Why don't they, man, your child graduated and you don't want to put it on the church group and you don't want it to be announced on the in a church to say, hey, you know, they've done well. And sometimes it's perceived as, what's wrong with this brother or this sister? But you see, it's because they're coming from that worldview of saying you don't announce your successes. You don't do that.
Right. And that's not seen as overt idolatry. It's just a mixing of worldviews that maybe hasn't been examined or explored yet. I think of Romans 12, the don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I could easily see how you could just operate that way without thinking about it as, you know, a problem for your Christian worldview, in the same way that somebody in the West might come into the church and still hold deeply consumeristic mindsets or materialistic mindsets and not challenge them and operate on those mindsets. So, man, I look forward to exploring all of this. There's so many thoughts and questions I have and avenues that we could explore that I look forward to. But before we end this episode, I do want to just take a minute to mention one thing. You mentioned that your father was born in the region of Chipinge.
Yes.
And yes. I am utterly fascinated by Chipinge. In fact, I'm demanding, and I have demanded in the past, you know this already, that you and I take a trip to Chipinge.
Right up.
But most people that I talk to now, Tavani, in Zimbabwe, that are from Zimbabwe, if you mention Chipinge, they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to Chipinge. So tell us, what is Chipinge known for? Why do I want to go there? And why do most people want to stay away from it?
This is so funny because you have this American white man who wants to go where all the African guys are running away from.
You know, yeah, that should be a warning to me. It should be a warning, but I want to go.
Yeah, so Chipinge really is it's synonymous as the hub or the capital of witchcraft in Zimbabwe. So, you know, there's a lot of activity there. There's like really senior witch doctors. That's where also it's synonymous with the production of lightning that men can actually create lightning and direct it, you know, according to where they want it to strike. So it's a place that a lot of people, I mean, we had a famous, witch doctor that passed away, I think about 4 years or 3-4 years ago. That was renowned internationally and even regionally, that even heads of states and government ministers, officials actually would, he was there, they were his clients, his patients. So he lots of big names that used to go there and be helped. So it's a place that, I mean, I go to a roadblock. I get stopped one time at a roadblock. And so, you know, our driver's licenses have got our national reg numbers, your ID number, your identity number, you know, that you are given from birth. So the last number for everyone. So wherever your village of origin is, there's a code for that. So I have passed through roadblocks, you know, where police are being difficult. I show them my license. They look at the last digits on my ID and they want me to get as quickly away from there as possible. They're like, you know what? We don't want to harass you. We don't want to stress you because you Chipinge people are a problem.
They don't want to mess with you. That's great. That's fantastic.
That's the basic.
And correct me if I'm wrong. There has been a certain amount of documentation and corroboration that these guys actually do seem to be able to call down lightning.
There has been, Mike. I haven't seen that personally, but I am very close to people that testify to that. I know that there's even been, fairly respectable scholars that Western people that have actually had some kind of understanding of that type of thing and researched. And yeah, so It is stuff that I don't want to, in as much as I have my theological, but I don't want to mess with it. You know, I don't want to. I don't want
to. Yeah, well, that's why I said I want to go to Chipinge, but I want to go with you. I don't want to go alone because I'll probably get myself into some sort of trouble. I definitely need a guide to tell me, like, hey, white boy, stay away from there. But no, I look forward to it. So, well, hey, Devani, thank you for this introduction. Thank you for your experience and knowledge. And I look forward to, you know, next time we're going to delve into some more specific of these topics and really start examining, like, what of this stuff is real? Yep. What do we need to know about it? How can we interact with the supernatural realm? How can we maybe help people? Because I, even living here in the United States, I've had a number of cases come across my desk or on my computer recently where people are reaching out for help saying, hey, we have a loved one who is dealing with possession or dealing with torment from the demonic realm. And, you know, all kinds of questions of, where is the line between the demonic and mental illness and all those sorts of things? You've thought a lot about those things and had a lot of experience. So I look forward to talking more about this. So thanks for joining us today, Devani. And we look forward to our next Devani Thursday, where we continue to have this conversation. This is the Icon Podcast, Devani Thursday, The Other Realm. Join us for our regular episodes that come out every Monday. And this series, which will be out the first Thursday of every month. If you have any questions or want to ask Devani further things, please feel free to email us at iconpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll look forward to being with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.